my beverage, which I made myself.
You bad motherfucker.
I've been with you for 10 years, and now I can finally make something as simple as a vodka and cranberry.
You throw in a lime, we'll call that a Cape Cod.
I threw in cherry juice.
Well, then it's a Cape Cad. I don't know, there's got to be a name for it.
Surely that must be some sort of cosmopolitan.
No, Cosmo would have to have triple sec.
But couldn't the cherry juice work like a triple sec?
I guess. It would serve the same function.
Yeah. More natural. Tastes better.
I would call it a... oh, shit. I'm trying to come up with something fucking witty. I got nothing.
I got nothing either. Except something maybe to do with Sex and the City. Because that was their drink of choice for a while. Until everybody started drinking them. And then they started drinking very odd blue thing drinks that I didn't want to try. I'm a firm believer you shouldn't drink drinks that look like they might be thermonuclear.
Mm. Or make your tongue look like you've been sucking off Papa Smurf.
Yes. Yes, that's always a good rule of thumb. As we've learned with Beaux Arts, where they continuously serve blue drinks.
Yeah. Well, it's because you can get blue curacao really, really cheap. And it looks fancy when you toss it into a giant tub filled with inexpensive vodka, ice, and Kool-Aid. But yeah. So anyway, you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay then. Welcome to Dork! I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm Carol Moore.
That's right. As you can tell by the decidedly higher pitched voice in the room, James is out this week. Well, not so much out. We were going to record a regular Dork via remote, as we've, you know, done the past couple weeks, barring last week where my dad was on. But, well, not the one before that either, because I think we missed one for the holidays. Anyway, back when we did them, it's been a little bit, we'd gotten used to doing them remote, and that had gotten better. Thank you, Google Hangouts. But for some reason, James couldn't get the signal, and it wasn't flipping on, and he had something going on tonight, and so all the technical difficulties cut into our recording time. So my wife is kind enough, my lovely wife Carol, is kind enough to step in and fill in for the week.
Sorry, guys.
She's sorry. But if it helps, you can visualize her nude this whole thing. Say hi, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
No, say it like you're naked.
I say it the same way, whether I'm naked or dressed. You're talking like husky voice? I'm not sick. I can't do husky voice. Hi, Carol. All
right. Well, Carol has a cold this week. Well, anyway, so we just passed our 7th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a little bit of debate on that because we had thought going into it that it was our 8th.
8th.
And then we did the math and we were like, no, it's 7. Because we'd been together a total of 10 years. And we dated for 3 before we got married.
Yes.
So we kind of sat down and did the math and we're like, oh, well, at least we're both wrong. you know, as opposed to one of us being correct, one of us being widely incorrect. But from the get-go, our marriage has had a dorky theme to it. Having moved in together domestically, we have begun investing in marriage tech, as I like to call it. No one else calls it that, I guess. But one of the first gifts we got for our wedding was decidedly geeky, as, you know, home implements go. The one from my parents.
The pink vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, the Dyson.
Love the pink vacuum cleaner.
Thing's fantastic. And it's only just now gotten to the point, after 7 years, where we have to swap out a hose on it. Now, it is pink, but...
Which is badass.
Well, yeah. But
pale pink, too. Not that stupid hot pink that they're trying to do now. It's that breast cancer awareness pale pink.
So I think about your breasts every time I vacuum.
Good.
Usually because I hook the vacuum up to a fleshlight, and but no, you wouldn't think of a vacuum could get geeky, but I guess everything gets a little dorky somewhere. I mean, there's a guy on YouTube who collects vacuum cleaners. He's got a video of all of his mini vacuum cleaners.
Oh, I am sure. I'm sure he's got like the 1942 Electrolux that was, only produced for 2 years. And due to some little thing, it's the most valuable Electrolux out on the market. Yeah. I don't only know if him. That's the valuable Electrolux, but I'm assuming that the valuable ones would come from 1942 when around the time when they first became popular.
Yeah. He's probably got a TriStar. Which, did you ever see Gattaca? It's a movie with Ethan Hawke.
I did not. I played the game Gattaca and sucked at it, but I don't remember ever seeing the movie.
Game. No, I don't
know. No, that's Galactica, isn't it?
Galaga?
Galaga.
No, Gattaca was about a future dystopian society where everyone is genetically engineered. Like, you can basically go into a fertility office and have them, you basically design your baby. Say, I want blue eyes, and I want him to be athletic, or I want her to be extra beautiful. Like, at one point, they go...
That would be awful.
Ethan Hawke and... well, they discussed that.
No, I don't mean, like, choosing things. I mean, the choosing process would be awful. I mean, think about it for a second. When you go into Starbucks, that's already enough choices right there. Or when you go into a grocery store and you want to get cereal... I mean, my God, it's an entire aisle of cereal, and you just stand there for a while going, I don't know what I want.
No, you don't. You go Lucky Charms or Fruit Loops.
Yeah, well, that's because I finally decided that all of those plethora of options don't apply to me anymore, and I'm going to stick to what I know.
Well, that's good. I think you'd do the same thing with a kid.
Well, you can't do that with a kid. It's not like you can go, this is my fifth kid, and I've decided this time around that I really like this and this that I did with the first and second kid. But what I did with the third kid,
You'd be fine. It's just like shopping. But for a person. And you'd totally be good at that. Bobby, quit. We're recording on the bed, and we've got both dogs and one of the cats. The other one will die.
See, my problem is I would enjoy the researching of the child, what we'd want to put into the child, but then the actual child itself would probably be a total letdown, no matter how awesome the child was.
Well, you just design it with a calm temperament. But like at one
independent, self-reliant.
At one point in the movie, they go to a piano concert, and the pianist has six fingers on each hand, and the piece he's playing can only be played by a six-fingered person. Which, I mean, that's handy if you're like, we want our kid to be a pianist. Give him six fingers on each hand. There was a kid born a few years ago in South America somewhere that has six fingers on each hand that actually worked. Polydactyly happens frequently, but usually
it's a little weird nubbin looking thing that you can barely wiggle,
like a tail. Mm-hmm. When you get a baby born with a tail, but these are actually, he's got functional sixth fingers on each hand. And if that kid doesn't play guitar or flute or something, he's wasting those things, or at least going to porn.
Well, where is he from?
I don't remember. Somewhere in South America.
Oh, well, then he's going to be that massive brick builder, you know, the one who carries all those bricks on his head.
I think that was in Africa, baby.
I thought it was South America or Central America.
No.
Are you sure?
They were wearing dresses.
It was a dude.
Yeah.
I don't remember him wearing a dress.
But they're like desert dresses. Yeah, it was totally a dude in dress.
I don't think so.
Do you remember the dude going back and forth from the boat?
No, I'm not talking about the dude going back and forth from the boat.
What are you talking about?
There is a guy who, he, like, is at a work site.
Uh-huh.
And he piles bricks up and more bricks and then more and bricks like, and more bricks. He's like
throwing them up eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting them back and forth from a boat.
No, not the one I saw. I'm just saying what I saw. Give me that, I am Nicholas, I'm smarter than you don't know what you're talking about look.
That is, I never give you that look.
He always gives me that look.
The look I'm giving you is the look of, I understand that memories can be malleable inside one's own head. And you watch a lot of documentaries about how Hitler visited British bricklayers or something. And
oh, the one I watched the other day was so much fun. It was so awful. I mean, it was bad. It was so bad.
What?
It was how there are aliens on the moon.
There totally are aliens on the moon.
There are totally not aliens. Well, there aren't, but not the type of aliens. Like, if they had them, then it would be like a little genetic bacteria that lived in the water. Okay, I'm willing to
give you that.
No. They're talking entire cultures.
Carol, there are entire cultures on the moon. The only people that have ever been to the moon are aliens. since there is no native population on the moon, anybody that visits, one, would have to have a pretty advanced culture, and two, be completely alien.
That's not what this show was about. What they were trying to say was they would show these moon pictures. We were like, oh, that's a nice crater. And then I'm like, do you see how delineated this is and round? This is obviously a 47-foot satellite because we can see it from space. And that kind of thing. It was hilarious. Like, they even got poor Buzz. I want to call him Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Aldrin. I'm sure he gets that a lot.
I'm sure he does. They even got poor Buzz Aldrin, and he's like, you've seen the pictures. Scientists would tell you if there were people on the moon. Like, he never outright said there weren't aliens on the moon. Uh-huh. But that was pretty much because the look on his face was like, are you effing kidding me? Of course there's not aliens on the moon. I showed you
that clip of him punching that dude out.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, folks, there's a great, just YouTube, Buzz Aldrin punch. And he's coming out of a press conference or something like that, and this maybe mid-20s looking dude comes up to me. He's like, how can you live with yourself for deceiving the American public about the moon landing? Everyone knows it's fake, or something along those lines. And Buzz Aldrin, who's in his 70s at the time, throws a right cross that drops this dude like a sack of potatoes. It was marvelous. And he just kind of stands over him like Ali with, you know, one fist cocked back. He's like, I'm grumpy. Grumpy Buzz Aldrin.
I thought it was glorious. I loved how the guy just went down.
Well, I mean, it was Buzz Aldrin. He was in the Navy, I'm assuming. Because NASA's an offshoot of the Navy. The Navy handles the space program. At least that's the way it was explained to me by a person I knew who was trying to be an astronaut. That was her plan, at least. Although I've never seen her since on any news conferences or anything like that.
I always thought that it was... maybe it is the Navy, but for some reason I always thought it was Air Force where they got a lot of the astronauts.
Well, they crash landed in the water. So they have to be retrieved by the Navy. So I'm pretty sure NASA's an offshoot of the Navy. Although this is a stupid thing that can easily be solved. Hold on. Let's see. Who is texting you?
Well, let's see.
Have to use names.
That would be the three most important women in my life at this current junction next to my mother.
Oh. Aren't you the popular one? Let's see. NASA. National Aeronautics Space Administration. Blah, 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 blah. President Dwight D. Eisenhower established the National Aeronautics Space Association in 1958 with a distinctly civilian rather than military orientation. Apollo moon landing, Skylab, space shuttle. Wow. I guess no branch of the military. NASA's its own thing. I wonder what the fuck I thought that. I'll tell you exactly why the fuck I thought that. It's because I talked to somebody who wanted to be an astronaut who one time very long ago told me that NASA was run by the Navy. Yeah. If anybody out there knows any fucking thing more than me about that, which obviously over the way I fumbled over that, feel free to send me an email at dorkpodcast, that's dorkuepodcast@gmail.com. Now that I think about it, I actually had one of those moments pop up today. Is there anything like that? Like me, for instance, thinking that NASA was run by the Navy, which, I mean, I've justified it to myself for the last 20 years. It made sense. You'd think, I mean, it's got to be a subset of the military. Air Force makes sense. Navy made more sense to me because it's a, you know, water rescue. Anyway, can you think of anything like that where somebody told you something and you believed it for an unbelievable amount of time until you finally corrected and you're like, oh, of course, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, the thing that happened to me today, I was driving on the road and there was a Kia in front of me. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. It was a Daewoo. Daewoo is a Korean car. And I was like, it like cut me off. And I was like, stupid Korean car. And I was like, Kia is a Korean car. In my head, I'm not saying this out loud. But in my head, I'm like, Key is a Korean car. Hey, remember that episode of Friends where Chandler made that joke about how he had to build his Kia? I didn't know Kia started out as a kit car company. Oh, wait, it didn't. He said IKEA. Not my Kia. Yeah. So does my Kia, but I have to put it together myself. He said so does IKEA. Because no one is that into kit cars in New York City, I wouldn't think.
No one's into cars that much in New York City. It costs almost more to park your car than it does to rent your apartment.
I don't know about that.
It's pretty close. It's pretty bad.
I didn't realize that you lived in New York for a certain amount of time and had to pay to park your car.
Oh, I didn't, but I had two friends who did, and that's why they didn't have a car and sold theirs.
Huh. Well, hey, if anybody wants to send me an email and say, hey, Nick, you must be kind of a bitch, do that at door.
Or better yet about how, hey, Nick, you're being an arrogant ass.
I'm not being an arrogant ass. I just don't, that doesn't sound true to me, that you'd have to pay for parking all over the place. There's streets everywhere.
I'm not talking about parking all over the place. I'm talking about if you live somewhere and you want to have a car, you cannot put your car on the street. It's, I mean, there are a very limited amount of spaces on the street, plus you wouldn't want to.
Oh, sure, no, I get.
So you have to pay for parking, and part of the reason why so many New Yorkers don't own a car, other than that their mass transit system is awesome, is because it costs just as much, sometimes more, to park your car and keep it parked in a garage than it does your rent. It's the same concept as why apartments are so expensive in New York. You're paying for the fact that space is so limited there. Folks, he's giving me his arrogant Nick look again. You're right, baby. I know nothing. I am an idiot.
I didn't say any of this stuff. You're saying all this shit. I'm not saying anything like that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure there are car clubs in New York. People like cars. And you subbed. You subbed the whole point. Which is that I was incorrect in believing that Kia at any point made a kit car.
Well, I don't think I ever had anything like that where I believed something for a long time.
Like my sister?
That was completely, yes. Actually, that's what I thought of was when you asked, have you ever had? And I'm like, no, but your sister has. But I don't feel that's our embarrassing story to tell.
Oh, no, it totally is. My brother-in-law makes I might have mentioned this before. My brother-in-law makes it a professional endeavor to drop incorrect information into my sister's head and just let it go. Just to let that go off into the world and see what happens to it. One of the best was when he convinced her that Brad Pitt is Robert Redford's son.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to talk about Great Britain.
Oh, England.
How Great Britain and England were two different countries.
Yeah, England.
And England.
And England, England, Scotland, Ireland, they were all different. And that's all it took. I just had to say it like that.
Well, and you said that Great Britain and England were two different countries, too.
No, I said they're all part of Great Britain. That was the kicker. I was like, she goes, wait, is it England or England? And I looked at my brother-in-law across the couch, and the little sparkle was there, and I was like, no, those are two different countries. She's like, what? No, you messed something. I'm like, no, it's all part of Great Britain. There's England, Ireland, Scotland, and England, and they're all part of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, huh, all right. And I like drew a little map on my hand, and I was like, see, it's like this. Here's England, and here's Ireland, here's Scotland, here's England, right there. In fact, that was a big part of the troubles.
But I'm trying to think if there's anything, and I don't know. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, because if I'm curious about something, I like to research it.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, I mean, like, sure, you research shit. I research everybody. You would think, but there's stuff that you just kind of take at face value because it's not really worth any other thought. And I guess, depending on what is worth your time and interest, a lot of things can get stuffed into there. I look at both my sisters from time to time and just go, have you not even questioned this? Like, yeah, you know, why not? Like, I work with one of my sisters. She works at the same office I do. And I walked by her desk one day after she'd posted a Facebook post linking to an article saying that there was going to be a real purge, I think it was in Cleveland, that weekend. that somebody had posted a flyer saying, the purge happens this weekend, because they saw the purge and were like, we're going to incite a purge. And so, of course, the news latched on. It was like, somebody's starting a real purge. There's going to be rioting and stuff like that. There's an increased police presence. And I was like, no, it's fucking not. And of course it wasn't. So I see this, and Emily's like, what's the world coming to? And I walk by her desk, and I said, what is this? She goes, did you see that? It's going to be a real purge. I said, no, there's not. She said, but it's on the news. I said, there's all kinds of things on the news. The news loves to freak out about things. There wouldn't be news if people weren't willing to panic about shit like this. And so, no. And she goes, well, how do you know? They put posters up all over the place. I'm like, well...
See, I miss the old days of the news, before CNN and everything, where you just had crotchety old guys who checked their facts first before they went on because they had a reputation to withhold.
Well, old CNN used to be nice. Like, it used to be an old grumpy dude in the morning. I can't remember who he was. Not Tom Brokaw.
No, because he was, what, ABC? Because you had Dan Rather. And Tom Brokaw. Uh-huh. And then I can't remember who the other guy was.
And like as squirrely as news got, it was 2020 with Tom Brokaw and Barbara Walters and John Stossel. And like they would do, you know, 2020 every Friday there would be like four stories. And they would be the craziest things they would use. Like, this guy has Tourette's. What's that about? Or here's, you know.
They were still news stories, but they were like.
They were fact-based.
They were fact-based, exactly. I wouldn't say poppy. I would say more like, you know, if you read a newspaper, here were your leading news stories. And then if you go into the back section, there would be your feature articles. Mm-hmm. I think that was more what 2020 was your feature article. I can remember my parents used to love that. And I'd see that clock go tick, 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 tick.
You're thinking tick, 60 minutes.
That too. What 2020 had the flippy things. Anyway, those were your two shows that you had. And my parents loved them, and I remember as a kid, I was like, oh God, no, not this. I would kill for that now and not have 24-hour news in my face all the time.
The Hollywood used to be like a minute. There was a Hollywood minute. Every hour of news, there was a Hollywood minute. 1 minute. That would discuss pop culture and film and that kind of shit. And now, it's a big fat chunk of it. I mean, depending on what you're looking at.
I blame the real world.
I don't know.
I do. I blame the real world for the downfall of television. Because the real world was the first, like...
Reality show?
Reality show out there. And people went crazy over it, and it cost virtually no money compared to the other things.
I blame Katharine Hepburn.
The movie star.
Yeah. Who was the dude that she was having an affair with? That Howard Hughes, he kept paying off reporters and stuff like that to hide the evidence of her cheating on her husband? Hold on, let me look this up. Because Katharine Hepburn, those pictures of Katharine Hepburn and, what is this? Oh, God damn it. His name keeps popping up. Ah, fuck. Hold on. Spencer Tracy.
Right, her husband.
Well, who'd she have the... Oh! No? Fuck. You didn't see The Aviator?
No.
Was it Katharine Hepburn? This is not a thing. I don't fucking know.
Yes, I do believe that was Katharine Hepburn, but I don't remember a good cover-up about an affair. That's not saying it didn't happen. I just don't remember.
Well, she... thought Howard Hughes.
But that was before she was with her husband.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she was his girlfriend for a while.
Well.
And as far as I remember, like, from things I've heard, they kind of sort of remained friends until he kind of went really crazy.
Yeah.
So, but I don't remember ever hearing about her cheating on...
There was something, like... Damn it. Hepburn's only husband was Ludlow Ogden Smith, a socialite businessman. Ha, ba, ba, Hollywood. Soon after moved to California, Hepburn began a relationship with her agent Leland Hayward. They were both married. Hayward proposed to the actress once. Hepburn began a relationship with Howard Hughes. Dang it. want to say, it was Kevin Hepburn. It may have been Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh yeah, she had all kinds of affairs on Richard Burton.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I think you're right. I think it was one of those, because there were pictures of her that surfaced that were like the first real big tabloid pics in the American press.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
Well, that might have actually been Richard Burton, because both of them were married to different people at the time that their affair went really huge and big, I believe, when they were filming Cleopatra.
Maybe that's what it is then.
Mm-hmm.
But those pictures sold for a shitload of money. And so the press was like, well, wait a minute, that's like a gold mine. Instead of writing this big, long, tortured world research story, I can just get pictures of Elizabeth Taylor with her tits out. Bang. Tabloid journalism. Well, I mean, tabloid journalism exists as long as journalism has existed.
But mm-hmm.
For, you know, finally there was like, hey, let's just do this all the time. Like, that was kind of the birth of the paparazzo. People that would chase celebrities around, take pictures of them. And then we would sit in here going, ah, hey, look at that. Did you see Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are fucking? Huh. What's a sports pitch? Like, that's all it's for. As Jim Gaffigan so brilliantly said, it's McDonald's. Whether you're eating McDonald's or, you know, you convince yourself that a Frappuccino isn't a giant chocolate shake, it's McDonald's. And that's what fucking tabloid journalism is. But, I mean, I guess you're right. The HLN wouldn't exist without the popularity of people getting used, like an entire generation growing up getting used to seeing people doing shit and being fascinated with it.
Yeah.
You know, like day-to-day shit. Like Kim Kardashian, Kim Kardashian is nothing new. There's always been, like, you know, there's Marilyn Monroe and...
She is like the Michael Jackson of women. Like, just with some of the weird stuff she does. Like, right now, you know, she's like, every time she goes out, she wears that corset thing. Like, she's very openly, blatantly honest about it. Like, her new weight loss system is to wear a corset.
Kim Kardashian?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah. It was actually in, I want to say, Lucky and InStyle just like a month ago or 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yep, Kim Kardashian still doing her corset diet. This is not something we'd want to try, but it seems to be working for her.
So what did she do? She zips stuff into a corset and then, like, can't eat? So it's like a strap-on lap band?
Well, do you know how uncomfortable you are when you wear pants that aren't right, that they don't fit right, they're tight?
Sure enough.
Okay. Well, put that all around your middle and then think about trying to eat in that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like a tie me into this lab band thing.
I'm sure you would lose weight because you wouldn't want to eat, because every time you eat, you know, get even remotely stuffed, it would be incredibly uncomfortable.
Your guts are all squished up.
Yeah. I don't think it's good for your spine either. I think I read somewhere that the muscles in your back...
No, I mean, it's awful.
I guess because they don't have to hold you up as much anymore. Which I'm sure is not a problem she has, because she probably has a personal trainer that comes in every day to work on that part of her back so that that doesn't happen. But, you know, I don't know.
But she's influencing tens of thousands of teenage girls all over the country.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I want to do that. Did you see that dude that got the cosmetic surgery to look like Kim Kardashian?
No, but see, I know the guy who looks like the living Ken doll, and that's just sad.
Well, let me find the picture. Now, this dude, and he paid a lot of money. This wasn't like something he got done some back alley clinic. This guy paid some money to make himself look like Kim Kardashian. He's a guy. Let's see, man. Kim Kardashian.
Well, Michael Jackson paid good money to make himself look like Diana Ross.
Hey, $150,000.
Good lord.
Yeah, this is him on the right.
Wait, he's on the right? Don't you mean on the left?
On the left, yes, on the left.
I was going to say, because they did a really good job if he's on the right.
No, it's the guy on the left.
He doesn't look anything like her.
He paid $150,000 to look like her. Do you have more pictures? Yeah, look at that sexy beast.
But, I mean, he doesn't. His lips are huge.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look like her at all. Which is why it made such a big, big splash. He's like, I paid $150,000 to look like a blowfish.
That's pretty much it. Because his lips, because you can't see the picture, his lips, if any of you ever have ever seen the First Wives Clubs, where Goldie Hawn goes into the doctor's office and she's like, I want to get rid of all my wrinkles and lines because I don't want to be old. And he's like, no, if I tuck any more in your face, you won't be able to blink.
He says he's had 50 plastic surgeries.
And so he does go ahead and put collagen in her lips. Mm-hmm. And so I think she really did allow collagen to be put in her lips. Or they did a really good makeup job on her because she just looks like this in the beginning of the movie.
I don't know. I think this dude just got stung in the lips with bees and, you know, decided he was going to do something with it. I'm going to be famous. Okay, so I was thinking about this today. You see Michael Jackson's kids, huh?
I mean, not lately, but I mean, I saw them like during the funeral and then the couple of years, like pretty much is every, the anniversary of his death, they whip out some kind of picture of Blanket and more the daughter than Blanket. What is her name?
Paris.
Paris.
Paris, Michael, Catherine, Prince Michael, and Michael Joseph.
Blanket.
But Prince Michael is Blanket. But yeah, so the, good Lord. Yeah, these are his kids. Just as a refresher. Those are Michael Jackson's children. Those are not Michael Jackson's children. Like, those are his kids. He, legally, he did not impregnate the woman who gave birth to those human beings. I know this because they do not look like Michael Jackson. They look like Michael Jackson propofol, you know, dead Michael Jackson. They don't look like Michael Jackson before his vitiligo and millions of dollars worth of surgery where his nose fell off at the end. Like,
well, I don't know, but you know they're never going to be doing DNA tests on those children, would you?
Oh, goodness, no. Those kids are millionaires.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's coming to do any tests. All the legality of it would be crazy. But, I mean, if you look at Michael Jackson in the Jackson 5, he looks like Gary Coleman. All right? Gary Coleman, as far as I know, didn't have any kids. But they didn't look like
Paris and Blanket. And then he got a small amount of plastic surgery done for Thriller. And that's when he looked normal. Like, he had gotten work done, but it was good work. He looked handsome. That was handsome Michael Jackson. That was pre-scary Michael Jackson. And then his hair caught on fire in the Pepsi video. And after that,
it was just a downward spiral.
Downward spiral. Oxygen tanks.
Oh, you think you're talking about the hyperbaric chamber?
Yeah.
That he slept in.
Yeah. Neverland.
Yeah. You know.
Although, if you were rich enough to own your own zoo, I'd probably own my own zoo.
I would donate to the zoo.
Oh, you know what? I might not have a zoo, but I definitely have a flock of Dick Dicks.
Oh yeah, the Dick Dicks.
Would it be a flock or a herd? Herd.
Yeah, they would be a herd because they're a tiny antelope.
I seriously, every time I go to the zoo, I'm like, can I fit one of those in my purse?
The answer is yes, but you can't catch them. Folks, if you're not familiar with a Dick Dick, go to the zoo, D-I-K-D-I-K. Go to the zoo and look for the ankle-high deer, and those are
possibly the world's most awesome animal. Number one, it's a pocket-sized deer.
Mm-hmm.
Cute as can be.
It's like something
number two,
fucking,
it's called a Dick Dick. I mean, how can you not love that?
Yeah. They're named that because that's the noise they make.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of chirp.
The only other wild animal I can think of that I would want as much would be one of those Arctic foxes. Those things are downright adorable.
They are cute, but they probably chew your face off while you slept. I mean, they can kill rabbits. They're carnivores. I don't know. It's like a monkey, baby. It's the monkey paradox,
yeah,
where a monkey would be so awesome, but at the same time, he'd chew your face off and throw feces at you. You know,
I've never wanted to own a monkey. There's something really weird about owning something that looks really close to what I am. It's too much like a child, I think.
If somebody could promise me that the monkey would not chew my face off in my sleep or throw feces at me or make me change its diaper. Like, if I could find a monkey that could, you know,
be human?
Well, no. Because I don't want it to talk. If we get into arguments, I want it to be just me going, bad monkey, and the monkey's yelling at me. Just going, meh, 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 meh. And I'm like, no. I told you not to go in there. Now, I told you. You know that is dog food. That is not monkey food. I know your name is Ivan, but I told you no monkey, no monkeys in the dog food. Like, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. It's like, I want the monkey.
Wasn't there a young adult book that they used to make you read in school that about a kid who finds monkeys, like, in the forest outside of his yard? It's like, you know, within the same genre of books is Where the Red Fern Grows and Sounder and...
So the monkey dies?
I cannot remember for the life of me the rest of the book. I just remember that there were monkeys. There isn't a single book
for kids that contains a dog where the dog is going to make it through the end. Like, you see a dog pop up and you're like, oh, they're going to kill that dog.
Surely not every child's book kills the dog. The
Old Yeller, Sounder, Where the Red Fern Grows, Marley and Me. Everybody but Clifford, really. And that was...
Benji didn't die, and Benji had a book.
Yeah, but Benji was movies first.
This is true.
And they had to bring his ass back. You know, if they thought that they could kill that dog on camera for, you know, $20 million, they might. But I think they're like, yeah, the kid's like Benji, and he works for dog food, so fuck it. But, yeah, I think... I'm pretty sure there's a young adult version of Clifford where Emily Elizabeth has to put him down. She talks him into going to like a military test range or something like that.
I don't know why they think those are good books for children to read. And then, as if to rub salt in the wound, I don't know if they used to do this when you were in school, because I am older than you, but they used to do for like the holidays and stuff. They would let you watch a movie, and they would either do a Disney movie like Herbie or, you know, The Cat Who Was an Alien or that kind of thing, which you prayed and hoped that's what you saw.
And not Old Yeller?
Because your other options were things like Yeller, old, you know, Yeller, where the red fern grows was a big one where I grew up. And so you see kids everywhere sniffling, taking the back of their hand and kind of doing that eye wipe thing. Like, I'm not really crying, you know, because there's nothing worse than crying in front of your peers over a fake dog death. Even for girls. So I never understood. They were like, this is appropriate for the children to watch. Not the other Happy Children movie out there. And they're there. This is what they need to see. It helps them grow.
I think it's more, if you're, you know, from a teacher's standpoint, you're like, I want to shut these little fuckers up. Here we go. Oh, you want to be snotty? You want to be, like, there's a badass kid in the back row. He's like, I don't give a shit about anything, man. Then, yeah, here's Old Yeller. Look, he's not, he saved them from the pigs. Is he going to die? No, mommy saves him. So, I guess he's going to make it. He's going to make it through the hole. Oh, no. There's a wolf. He defeated the wolf. Everything's okay. Why is he growling at Arliss? Oh, no. What is he? Wait. Arliss is putting him in the pen.
I was actually talking to my boss today about this. About movies that are not good to watch for, you know.
Yeller's okay. Yeller?
Bang. You're dead. Bang.
I'll do it. He's my dog.
I was actually talking, you know, maybe that's why because I was talking to my boss today. Maybe that's why I really hate super, super realistic movies. You know, because as a kid, I was like, I don't like this. And I still don't like that. And you still don't let me watch some things. I, like, for example, I told them I'm not allowed to watch the Health Channel anymore.
Yeah. Oh, God. So one day, this was before we were married.
No, we were married because your sister had had Ethan.
Okay.
So if we weren't married, no, we were married because this was when we were briefly talking about, are we going to have kids?
Yeah. So we're sitting on the couch and we're watching a Health Channel documentary on harlequin ichthyosis. Harlequin ichthyosis is a form of shingles where it's really, really bad. Basically, your skin doesn't produce oil, and it gets really dry and cracks, and it gives your face the appearance of an Arlecchino mask.
Your face and your body and everything, because that's how your skin...
It's horrendous, and you have to coat yourself with Vaseline. And it's kids, because there aren't a lot of teenagers with Arlequin ichthyosis, because it just plays hell on your...
immune system.
Your immune system. And so, we're sitting there watching this. The girl's doing fine, and... we're following a couple who's talking about their daughter with who was born with Harlequin's ichthyosis. And there's a 25% chance that any kid they have will get this disease. And so they're talking about it, and they're like, well, you know, she got older, and we were iffy about it, because we knew there was a 25% chance that any child we had would have this. And we felt that we owed it to whatever child that was to bring her.
Yeah, I don't even think it was like a 25% chance. I think it was like even less than that. Like, it was like the fact that this one happened at all is sort of stunning. So it really can't happen again.
Yeah. And so the next shot is of a little baby in a high chair getting fed mashed peas. And this baby has Harlequin's ichthyosis. And I'm like, oh my God, that's terrible. And I look over at Carol. She didn't answer. And she is in tears. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, give me the road. You changed this shit. What are you? No, baby, it's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but what are you? No, we're not going to watch this anymore.
Well, and to add that, that was when your sister, you know, when your nephew, they were in Texas because Ethan had the heart problems and everything.
Well, he...
And we were talking about having kids, and she was in her 20s, your prime kid-bearing years. Uh-huh. And I was in my 30s, arguably not your prime kid-bearing years. And I just burst into tears because I was like, what if our child is like that? And yeah, it was not cool. So I'm not allowed to watch the Health Channel. I'm not allowed to watch movies like Killer Fish.
Oh, Blackfish.
Blackfish.
Yeah.
In my defense, Netflix lies on their things because it's like, watch the, you know, watch Shamu. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. I mean, it doesn't tell you you're going to find out about a serial killer whale and you feel for the whale instead of the people that he's killed.
Well, I came out of the shower and you're all red and cryy. And I was like, baby, what's wrong? I look at the TV and it's Blackfish. I'm like, why are you watching Blackfish? Who told you to watch this shit? Why? And you were like, might as well finish it. I'm like, baby, I don't think you're going to feel any better when this is over than you do now.
And I didn't. I felt awful for at least 4 days. That's all I could think about. And I still think about it occasionally, but I try to block it out with happy thoughts.
Yes, sad things happen to whales. That always seemed like a weird thing to keep in captivity. He's a whale.
Well, that poor little whale, they capture him when he's young. They separate him from his pod.
Yeah, don't start talking about it. You're going to start crying.
I will
but
start crying.
It's very sad, but like whales do fine. I mean, you can protect them, but to think that you have any chance of breeding them or make them happy in captivity. And this is a thing I have to talk to people about with zoos all the time because, you know, PETA, those fucking idiots, are always... railing about how you need to let those animals free and you gotta go, they're fine for the most part. I mean, there are some shitty zoos out there, folks. Yeah. I'll give it to you. But an AZA accredited zoo for the most part is a pretty good place for an animal to be. Zoos are important in that they keep species alive. They have interspecies breeding. They don't. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's not intended. But they have inter-zoo breeding programs that help, you know, help keep these species from dying out, and in many cases have been very successful. Even Baton Rouge Zoo has been very successful with things like they've had a couple rhinos. They have had a successful program with their tamarins, the lion tamarins and the cotton-top tamarins, which are very tiny
primates. Cute little monkeys.
Yeah, cute as fuck. Usually, this is a conversation I have with teenage girls who get upset about zoos. And I'm like, hey, hold on now. I worked at a zoo. And I understand. He looks so sad. He's sad because you're looking at him during his nap time. Zoos are open from, you know, like 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And that's prime. I'm sleeping because it's daytime. Fuck off time. So, you're not seeing happy animals. You're seeing animals during, you know... Like, if people
except
were walking...
Except for elephants. Elephants are happy to see you.
Elephants are fucking fantastic.
That was one of the coolest experiences of my life. It ranks up there with, you know, I had that one time when I was like 11 or 12, and there was a cheetah in my lap. No, it didn't eat my face off. Then there was the time in the Oklahoma City Zoo at the aquarium where it was only my family in the stands. So they allowed us to go back where the trainers were, and like the seals and everything were right there, and we got to pet the dolphins and everything. That was pretty friggin' awesome. And then when I got to feed the elephants when Nicholas worked at the zoo, that was pretty flippin' awesome too.
Yeah, those elephants are pretty badass. Which is not to say there are elephants that are poorly treated. You know, that's why you're seeing less and less of them in circuses, because circuses have a history of poorly treating, you know, elephants. And elephants are...
I can't see how it would be easy for a circus to treat an elephant well. I mean, they're large animals, so mm-hmm. just by their very existence, I can't see how circuses could treat an elephant well.
Yeah. I mean, they... And I don't doubt that there are handlers in circuses that try to do their best to keep the elephant happy and comfortable. But if you drive around in a truck all day, like, have you ever seen a carny? Those aren't happy people. And they know what's going on. Elephants are like, we're going to... I just want to eat onions. And kind of walk around, have a little bit of space. Some water to, like, submerge myself in and roll around in some dirt. Oh. More screaming kids, huh? All right. People blowing cigarette smoke in my face and spilling coffee and smelling puke. Awesome. Good. That's looking forward to it. But from what I know of zoo elephant handlers, for the most part, they really care. Like, at the Baton Rouge Zoo, there were dedicated elephant handlers. There were people that was their job. If they took time to, you know, one of them was always there. And they took time to feed the, you know, other large mammals. Not the carnivores. Carnivores are specialized. At the Baton Rouge Zoo, only women were allowed to be carnivore keepers. The head of carnivores was a man. And they did that on purpose because women and men smell differently. So the women would only feed them so that they would respond positively to women. And the only time the man was around was when they had to go get shots. So they did not like men. Because when he showed up, they knew they were getting tranked. If they were to wake up, they were going to be groggy and getting, like, dental work done or something uncomfortable. And they knew that when they woke up, they weren't going to be happy. But anyway, elephants are bright as fuck. Like, as long as... Until Judy died. And they sent Bosie off to Washington. Those are the two elephants at the Baton Rouge Zoo. Every time I went by there, they always remembered me.
Yeah. I witnessed that. I have pictures of it. He would call her name, and she would come up, and she would reach out her trunk and try to touch him, which would just thrill the other people at the zoo around us, because they'd be like, look at what the elephant's doing. What's the elephant doing? Hey, how are you making the elephant do that? Well, and she just wanted to say hello, and it was really sweet.
Part of it was her just saying hello, you know, a friendly face. I think the other part of it was she always checked to see if I had cigarettes. Because Bosie in particular liked to eat cigarettes. Like, because they're peppery. You know, I mean, a pack of cigarettes ain't going to do shit to an elephant's digestive tract. They're eating 200 pounds of food a day. So, you're not going to freak it out with a pack of smokes. But there was a lot of flavor to it. You know, she'd eat the pack and get the pepper flavor out of tobacco. So if you walked into her pen, like a lot of the keepers did, and you had a pack of smokes in your pocket, she would very calmly, like, you know when your dog's trying to steal pizza off your plate?
Think they're being sneaky?
Yeah, she'd be sly, kind of come over, you know, kind of sway near you, and then kind of wrap her trunk around you, and be like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then she'd dip her nose, the tip of her trunk, into your pocket, steal your smokes, and promptly eat them. Which is fine when it was just your cigarettes, but a lot of times, there's other things in your pocket, like keys. And I still have a whistle around here somewhere that was one of those little rape whistles that was on somebody's key ring that went through an elephant. They found it in the yard and they let me keep it. So I have an elephant whistle. Not that it calls elephants, but it went through an elephant.
I think that's a valid reason to call it an elephant whistle.
Yeah, it's in one of these drawers full of crap I got around here. But yeah, that experience alone was enough to make the whole zoo thing awesome. It's a great job.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I loved the stories that you would come home with. And it's because of that we know you're allergic to chinchilla spit.
Hedgehog.
Hedgehog spit.
Yeah, my only allergy is hedgehog saliva.
But chinchillas are very, 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 very soft.
Yes. They have, like, you, in one follicle, you have one hair. chinchillas, in one follicle, they have something like 100 hairs. So they're very, 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 very soft. And they shed like crazy. But yeah, those things were cool. But they never let us have any cool animals. Like, we really, I mean, Merlin was cool. He was the little owl.
I don't know. I liked your parrot that cursed.
Well, the cursing parrots, they wouldn't let us take out. There's a whole section of birds behind the birds at the Baton Rouge Zoo. And if you get by one of the corners and kind of peek around one of the cages, you can see some cages kind of shielded from the elements with tarp off to the side. And those are the off-site birds that cannot be put on display, mostly because of bad behavior. And that bad behavior is that they would yell swear words at you.
I would pay money to see that.
Oh, they're fantastic. It's a problem in Australia. Swearing cockatoos. No shit. Well, like, people get cockatoos, and you remember Charlie, the cockatoo at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
He was a golden crested cockatoo. Big white bird, the yellow mohawk.
He was awesome.
He would show up and he'd say hello. Say hello, Charlie. And he would ask for Brazil nuts, which were his absolute favorite. But Charlie would just say hello, Charlie, and that was about it. If they spend a lot of time with you, they will pick up a lot of stuff. And one of the things that people just love to teach parrots or any talking bird is swear words, because he'll go, fuck you. And that's cute once. When he says it around your grandmother or children, you're like, okay, maybe we got to do something with this bird. And so what they do with these birds is they go and they let them loose in the jungle or in the forest. So in Australia, you have cockatoos roaming the forest that swear. Well, they don't know they're swearing. They just know that this is something they can say that's unique. And so they pull up to another bird, and the bird's like, and they go, fuck you. And that bird goes, fuck me. Fuck you. Now that bird goes, fuck you. And that other bird goes, fuck you. And so he's taught that bird how to say, fuck you. And so those birds, as you can imagine, it becomes exponential until you have entire flocks of cockatoos flying around yelling, fuck you. And they are yelling it because Australia, like every other country/continent, is becoming more and more industrialized. And there's more and more cars and, you know, neighborhoods and cities, things that make noise. So for those calls to be heard, the birds have to get louder. And their next generation is louder. And so Australia literally has flocks of birds screaming swear words. Just roaming free. Which makes it another destination we really have to visit.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's a plus, not a minus in my book. And then, I don't swear very much, but I really enjoy hearing others do it properly.
You've gotten really good at it.
I have.
You didn't swear so much when we first started dating, but you've gotten a whole lot better.
Well, you heard my family.
Oh, God, your family, like, works in it. They work in swear words the way some people work in oils.
Yes.
Like, they're marvelous. Your dad's got a PhD in fuck. Like, he says, well, here's the thing about your dad. Your dad says, damn it, a lot. Like, damn it is his comma. He says, damn it. But when he's, like, exerting himself, like if he sits down, he goes, God bless America. Like, he won't drive. And it's not that he doesn't say, God damn it. He does say, God damn it. But much more frequently, when he's, like, sitting down, he's like, God bless America.
Yeah, he does.
You're like, why did you say that? You're about to say fuck. Like, I know it. He'll do it. God bless America. What the fuck is going on with this ball game? You fucking assholes. What the fuck? Ugh, God bless America.
Well, I grew up around that. And my entire family does it, and they do it very well. And I did not want to be like that. So... And then I worked in hotels for over a decade where you can't swear at all.
Yeah.
So it kind of got beaten out of me. So it was kind of funny. all of my family is not in Louisiana. So Nicholas didn't meet my family. Gosh, we'd been together, what, 5 years? 6 years?
Yeah, I guess so.
It was a long time before he'd ever really met my family, because the wedding didn't count, because everybody was on their best behavior then.
And I didn't meet all of them.
Yeah.
I didn't meet your dad until we'd been married for a while.
Yeah, no, because he doesn't like to travel anymore.
Yeah.
So we went up for Thanksgiving, and that's when he got to meet my family in their in their home habitat.
Hmm.
And got to hear them. And I don't think I had ever shared a lot of childhood stories with him, not because I didn't want to share, but because if you don't have things around you that remind you of your past, you don't think about it a lot. So when we were going to visit my family, I was starting to see things that reminded me of my past. So Nicholas was getting more stories in this basically drive to Oklahoma and Missouri than he had gotten in the past 5 years of our relationship. And then we get to my family, and yeah, swear words everywhere. And this man had maybe heard me say the word fuck twice, and I was using it like it was a comma.
Yeah.
At home.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot about you on road trips. So, road trip we took to Virginia. Carol and I have been dating for...
a year or two.
Yeah.
Because, let's see, we'd known...
There was still, you know, we had become familiar with each other. Intimately.
Yeah, and we were living together at that point, too.
Yes, in sin. And so friends of ours asked us to drive to Virginia to bring some trees, because they were moving to Virginia, and they had these trees that they couldn't put anywhere else, and it was really just a good excuse for us to go there. And so I'm driving my dad's truck, and I'm starting to doze off. Kurt goes, I'll take it. So I let her take the wheel. I doze off. I wake up to heavy metal blaring out of the stereo. It's dark. This is the thing. It's dark. It's like, you know,
it's like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Pitch black. We're swerving through these mountain roads back and forth. Metal's coming out of the stereo, which was not on there when I went to sleep. And Carol is singing along with it. And I look over. My eyes are wide. Pupils dilated. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Someone's going to eat my pancreas. A rest stop. Feed me to the raccoons.
Man. He did. When I finally realized he was awake, he did look shocked. Is not the appropriate word, but he
taken aback.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what scared him more, the fact that the metal was playing and I was enjoying it, or the fact that I was singing it.
It just was a sign I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, I don't sing heavy metal well, so. My sister used to punch me in the face and tell me to stop singing heavy metal because it sounded like an opera singer trying to sing Metallica. I told her to fuck off and kept singing, but still.
Oh, with that, I think we can just about call it. Thanks for hopping in, babe.
You're welcome.
Next week, James should be back on, and we'll get back to dorky dork topics. As for now, enjoy this little extra tidbit into my life. Oh, well, I guess you listened to my conversation with my dad last week. This one was a little more off topic. I actually went into this planning on talking about marriage tech, like the technology of marriage.
Things. Like dishwashers and stuff?
Yeah. Like your, you know, KitchenAid stand mixer and...
Love that.
My wedding ring and, you know...
Yeah.
There's you know, there's stuff, but then we got sidetracked by NASA and jobs and dead dogs and things that make Carol cry.
And believe it or not, what you've just heard is pretty much a conversation we have every day of our lives.
Which is why we're married.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Well, enough of this sap crap. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Nick Moore.
And I'm Carol Moore.
And you've been dorked. See you next week, folks.
Oh, because that's always a joy for everyone here.
That's a really good one.